One of the favorite parts of a Children Youth Sunday is getting to hear the testimonies from our graduating seniors. And this year we have two of our graduating seniors are going to share their testimonies, a little bit of their faith journey, Becky Thompson and Bethany Turner. There we go. They were selected because they have the same initials to confuse me very well. Becky's going to share first, and she is graduating from New Canaan High School. She was baptized here at Noroten Presbyterian Church, so she has been a lifelong member of this church. She's sung in the choir, was part of musicals, VBS, Engage and Ignite, and also went with us on the spring break mission trip to New Orleans a couple years ago. She's going to be heading off to Rhodes College here in a few months to, in Memphis, Tennessee, where her sister Sarah has paved the way to make it nice and easy for her. Right? No, so we're excited to have Becky share with us. So, Becky.
Good morning. I've always wanted to do that. My name is Becky Thompson, and in a little over a week, I will be a graduate of New Canaan High School. I was born into the NPC family when my parents started bringing me here when I was a few weeks old. And I went through confirmation here and became a member in the eighth grade. One thing that this church has taught me to love is doing service. The summer after my confirmation year, our class went on a mission trip to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, where we did a multitude of different tasks, from sorting and packaging food in a warehouse to weeding gardens and visiting the elderly. During a talk on this trip, they shared with us a section from Luke 14. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. I knew that the people that I was helping needed help, and that through Christ, I could give it to them. When I was working, if I thought about the work, it was always hard. But when I thought about God, or the people for whom I was working, it brought me joy and extra energy to work a little bit harder. After this trip, I wanted to find other ways to be involved. So when the church took a group of people to New Orleans a few years ago, I joined them. And I doubt that you could find anyone who has had as much fun with tile as I did on that trip. Yes, I did say tile. The group that I was with that week was helping to fix up a house which was devastated by Hurricane Katrina. And my task was to help tear up the tile on the countertops and then relay it. Spending hours on end staring at speckled hexagons was tiresome. But when we got to meet Dale, the man whose house we were helping to fix, I was able to turn the work into something more meaningful by remembering how grateful he was that we were helping him. This past summer, I was able to go on another trip, this time with a different group of people. I went with a church in Fairfield, and when attending the first meeting, I knew about two people. As I said, I knew very few people out of the 25 or so who were going, so it began a little awkwardly. However, I knew that everyone there had something in common, love for Christ, and through this, I was able to connect with many of them. By the time we stepped off the plane in Guatemala City, I felt like I had known everyone for a very long time, and we had become good friends. Another thing you should know about me is I speak about 10 words of Spanish. A big part of this trip was working and playing with orphans who, living in Guatemala, spoke Spanish. Although I was unable to communicate with these children through words, I found it easier to see what they were trying to tell me when I looked to God and trusted in his support, and I was able to show them what I wanted to say through God's love. Thank you all for giving me these opportunities to serve and for showing me the love and strength in Christ.
Our next testimony is going to be shared by Bethany Turner, who was also baptized as an infant here at Noroten and is graduating from Darien High School. She'd also been involved in choir, musical, and was with us on our first spring break mission trip to Juarez. And in the fall, she's going to be attending American University in Washington, D.C. So, Bethany.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bethany Turner, as Pastor Stewart just said, and I'd really just like to take a moment to say what an incredible honor it is to be able to speak this morning. I've watched countless seniors give this speech before me, and I always wondered if it would be me someday, so I'm really excited to get to share my faith journey with you. My faith was something I was born into. I grew up in Noroton Presbyterian Church and was for a long time known as, oh, Shauna's daughter. And I can't remember a time when Christ wasn't a part of my life. As a child, my faith was something I could be proud of, even though I wasn't personally invested in it. I prayed before meals at school, was careful never to take the Lord's name in vain, and tried to live out my beliefs the way my parents taught me to. The first time I dedicated my life to Christ, I didn't really understand the significance of what I'd done. Oftentimes, adversity is what makes people realize how much they need a Savior in their life, and that was true for me. In seventh grade, I experienced the most intense loneliness I ever had before. For the first time, my morals and beliefs caused me to be isolated from my peers. Girls would pretend to be my friends, but whisper that I was a goody-goody behind my back. No one asked me to spend time with them on the weekends, I had no one to talk to, and my loneliness became so consuming that night after night I'd lie in bed, unable to fall asleep. Finally, I asked my mom for advice. She suggested that I pray through the alphabet, something that had helped her get through sleepless nights. Each time I had trouble falling asleep, I would pray about something that started with an A, B, C, etc. And at the end of the alphabet, if I hadn't fallen asleep, I would be filled with an overwhelming sense of peace. So for the first time, I found myself desiring a closer relationship with Christ. Things improved for me quite a bit after that year. Eighth grade brought the friends I had prayed for, and come high school, I found myself increasingly involved in the church. I joined a small group, which has turned out a group of some of my closest friends and sisters in Christ. I sang in the high school choir as a freshman, attended Ignite, and hit the peak of my faith in 11th grade. I served on the congregational life team at church. I was also a deacon and volunteered with Wildlife to share God's love with middle school students. And I began to feel really spiritually fed after every sermon in church and felt as though my relationship with Christ had finally solidified. On top of that, I had a breakthrough with one of my friends. She'd never been a Christian before, but began to ask questions about my faith and seemed to really want to live her life for Christ. I always wish that I could emulate the excitement of a new Christian. The questions they ask are so thoughtful, and everything they learn seems exciting. And in truth, faith is exciting. Throughout high school, we're also told to find ourselves, and at the end of 11th grade, I felt as though I had. My identity was in Jesus Christ, and I couldn't have been more satisfied. This year, though, brought back some of the loneliness I hadn't felt in a long time. I lost a good group of friends, and with them lost some of my confidence in my faith. The strong sense of identity I felt dissipated as I felt alone again in the world, without anyone to support me in my beliefs. At the beginning of this year, I would mold myself to be whatever person would fit into the groups that would accept me. It was an incredibly empty existence, pretending to be someone I wasn't, to try to make the loneliness go away. For a while, I stopped focusing on what was important, living my life for Christ, and made filling my loneliness my top priority. What I failed to realize, though, was that the loneliness I felt was because I had lost my strong relationship with Christ. When I came to that realization, it was the most incredible feeling in the world to remember that as long as I had Christ, I could never be truly alone. This year helped me to realize that what I've always loved so much about Noroton Presbyterian is its community. My best and longest friends are members of this church, and everyone here readily supports me in my walk with Christ, from my youth leaders to my pastors to everyone here is always so supportive. And faith is easier when people around you share your beliefs. One of the most striking images of this was something that I experienced on my trip to Israel this past February, which I took with the church when we visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And carved into the doors of the church were crosses, which were left by the thousands of Christian pilgrims who journeyed to that site. And it was such an incredible thing to see how many Christians there are in the world, all connected by Christ's love. Still, there won't always be people supporting my faith, and thus it was more important for me to discover that there is no true loneliness. I won't read you the poem about the footprints, but Christ is always beside me. I guess my faith journey has been one of finding a friend and a Lord in Jesus Christ, and trying to find that childhood pride I had in my beliefs in elementary school, but for myself and not just for my parents or the people around me. My identity is now completely rested upon the fact that I am a daughter of Christ. Everything I do is in his name, and everything I do that is in his name is fulfilling and right, and I know that he'll never leave my side. The prospect of leaving Noroton Presbyterian is daunting because it's been my church for such a long time. But even though I'm leaving everything I've ever known, my church, my family, and my friends, I'm not worried. Christ has led me through my life thus far, and I know that I'll be able to find him wherever I go as long as I'm willing to look. I'd love to close with the Bible verse that anyone who knows me has heard quoted 1,000 times. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." With that verse in hand, I know I'm ready to face whatever the future might hold. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll share a few things before I get to the scripture reading. First off, congratulations to all of our graduates that you'll see in the yellow insert in the bulletin. And I want to encourage you not just to look at these and say, great, or how many people do you recognize, but maybe pray through the alphabet or something like that, but to pray for these graduates, especially in August and September as they head off to new adventures, new campuses, new churches to find in fellowship. Just pray for God to watch over and protect them. And also, we've invited the parents of the graduates to share a picture and a little, just a little something about each of the students and what they're going to be doing in the future, some of their accomplishments and God's blessing upon them. And if you want to grab one of these, they're available in a basket in the narthex and as you leave out here. But also, we just ask if you only take one per family, please. We tried to save a little bit of money and not making thousands of them, but I encourage you to take one of these with you to also know a little bit more about some of our graduates and what they're going to be doing in the coming years. And I'd also make a huge mistake if I didn't say also thank you to all the volunteers, not only the children's ministry volunteers, but also the youth ministry volunteers, many who on a regular basis are here teaching Sunday school, leading small groups, going on trips, and just pouring their lives into our students. And they are truly the heroes of children's ministry and youth ministry. And we always have room for more. There's never, VBS is the only time, I think, where we can ever say we have too many volunteers. But other than that, we can always use more people helping out to love on these kids, to share with them and show them the love of Jesus Christ. So thank you for your time and service. As we come to our sermonette that we'll have this morning, let me open us up with prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word, for your truth, for these students that are stepping up in different grades at the end of the year and at various ministry changes here at Noroten, and also for the graduates as they go from here, that they would be remember the love of Christ that is in this place, and that love that transcends Noroten, transcends Darien, and goes throughout the world, that they would find a community that they would invest in and be loved and supported. Lord, we pray as I open the word of your truth for Moses, that it would be clear to us in what you have to teach us today. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 20. And it says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, and tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." This is the word of the Lord. Hello, my name is Stuart, and I've been serving in youth ministry for a little over 15 years. That's my confession to you. So why do I need to give a confession like that? I believe with all of the best intentions, youth ministry has been happening at Noroten and churches across the country, but in a lot of ways, we've been doing it wrong. And I've been a part of that. Adolescence is a time that sociologists have only recognized really in the past 100 years, recognized that as a distinct group, and only in about the past 50 years has the church really recognized the time of adolescence. Adolescence is really the time of transition from childhood to adulthood. And how many of us really like transition? We've learned that this transition is getting longer and longer, and that only adds anxiety. With the best of intentions, Noroten has given resources to leaders in faithfully believing that we're doing the best to help our students during this time of transition. But statistics have shown that across the nation, the effect is not what we had hoped would happen. One of the great images that I read about that I think really helps to illustrate well what youth ministry has been all about and what I've been a part of is the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Maybe you've heard different lines of this. It's a familiar story, but we don't always get the Paul Harvey version of the rest of the story. What happened was in a small town in Hamelin, they had an infestation of rats. Rats were everywhere. And a man came to the town dressed in pied, which is a multicolored coat of some kind. And he came claiming to be a rat catcher. And the people of the town agreed to pay him a fair amount if he would rid their town of rats. So one day, he came into the town, playing a musical pipe, some kind of bagpipe instrument. All of the rats followed him out of town and into the river where they were all drowned. And that's usually where the story ends. But then there's the rest of the story. The next day, he came back to town and asked the people to pay the fair price that he had requested. And they refused to pay. This is where we get the term, it's time to pay for the piper. To get revenge, the piper came back to town while the villagers were in the church. And while the villagers were in the church, he began to play the pipe again. And this time, all the children began to follow him. And they led them down the valley and into a cave. And they were never heard from again. The children simply disappeared after following the Pied Piper. There's many descriptions of youth ministers as, oh, that person is a great Pied Piper. Look at how all the youth follow him or her wherever they go. And that does happen, and we think we're doing a great thing. But too often we realize that once those students have gone off to college and into adulthood, they're away from the church. Because when they go to their college campus or when they go into young adulthood, that piper is not there to lead them in youth ministry, lead them in other ways. And again, it is with the best intentions. But we need a different model. We need to have a different way of looking at this. A friend of mine who's a pastor in Dallas says that every few months we'll compare what we're doing in our churches. And he'll always tell me every few years, oh, we've got a different model. We've got a different structure. Because his church has a lot of people that are into corporate structure. So they're always trying to give different structure to the church to fix any challenges. So maybe I'm coming with a new model, a new structure, but it's really not that new. Because the model that I want to share with you is one that's probably 7,000 years old, depending upon what the historical timeline is. But it's the story, the framework, the structure that Moses gave to the people of Israel. The things that Moses told the families, the Israelites, of the things to do for their families and teaching them the faith were very simple. Impress these things upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them while you walk along the road. Talk about them at bedtime. Talk about them when you get up in the morning. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Nail them to the doorposts of your house. Write them on your front gates. And finally, play King Frog and Chubby Bunnies. No, those aren't really in the scripture. All the other ones are except for the last one, and those are some youth games. And so we are not here saying that we're quitting as youth ministers because parents do a better job of it. No, what we're saying is that we need to work together better at this. Christian Smith, a researcher at Notre Dame, says, the evidence clearly shows that the single most important social influence on the religious and spiritual lives of adolescents is their parents. We'd all like to think it's the youth leader. The best social predictor, although, is not a guarantee of what religious spiritual values the youth will look like, is what the religious spirituality lives of the parents look like. So if you want to see the way that spiritual lives of children look at their parents. Now, there's some assets that parents bring to the table that no youth worker, no youth pastor could ever bring. And after my own children were born, I began to realize these assets that a parent has that no other youth leader has. Parents love their kids more than anyone else. It's true. It's true of me. I remember shortly after Hayden was born, of looking at some middle school kid that I just couldn't figure out what his deal was. And I thought, you know, in the same way that we love and care for Hayden and dote over him, there's another mother and father who have done the same thing for this middle school kid that, God love him, you know, there's something about him. Parents care more about their kids than anyone else. Parents find it hard to be objective, which is a good thing. They find it hard to be objective because we as parents, we care so much for our kids. It's a strength of parents, not a weakness. But it's also a reality of the church and the youth leaders. Parents also have more time with their kids than anyone else. There's no way we can, youth leaders, youth ministers of the church, can compete with the opportunity that parents have with their teenagers. Now, as I started thinking about this, of what does this look like for us and our family, I was thinking about that and reflecting on what would it look like more to share the faith, to share the truth of Christ with my family And how do we do that? The next morning, I woke up and had a whole different thing that God gave me. When Micah, my second son, walks into the door comes downstairs for breakfast, the first thing I say to him is, "Hey, did you hear Josh Hamilton got off the disabled list? And on the second pitch he hit a home run." And he's like, "Yeah, that's exciting. Josh Hamilton, center fielder for the Texas Rangers, my favorite baseball team, and subsequently the favorite baseball team of my two sons. And Preston, there's hope for him when he gets a little bit older." But what do we do with our kids? I guarantee you that most of us follow and are fans of the same baseball team, hockey team, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, of our parents. Because what is it you talk about in the morning at the breakfast table? What did Derek Jeter do last night? What did LeBron do or won't he do tonight? Whatever the case might be. Those are the things that we talk about. We're good at that with sports. But why aren't we there with our faith? Why aren't we there with sharing with them what it is that God in Christ is revealing to us? We do need to keep our youth ministry programs, but the reality is that we need to reevaluate our youth ministry programs and what we're doing. And this is one of those sermons that I'm going to share with you, a lot of problems, a lot of things, and some solutions, but we need each other to really figure out the answers. So one of the things I commit to you as a overseer of the children and youth ministers, we're going to look at three things within everything we do. The first one is, does this support families? Does what we're doing support families? Parents should be taking their kids to amusement parks, not just the youth pastor. There's things that families need to share together. Does this program help teenagers, bring teenagers and adults together? How many times are we the flock of Jesus Christ, the flock of the church, and we separate the flock into different places? And the strength of the flock of sheep, is to stay together. Teenagers shouldn't be treated merely as the church of tomorrow. They can be part of the church right now. And how can we see that happen more and more in the life of Noroten? And then finally, does this program teach teenagers with respect? Are we truly utilizing the gifts of our students and our children? Or are we merely having them there as a token way of saying, aren't we good for having them? No, even young people have great gifts and skills that we want to bring to the table and part of that. There's also three things that stand out in Deuteronomy that we shared about that I also want to finally unpack as we think about this, not just for children and student ministries, but the whole church. And that is what Deuteronomy says. The spiritual formation of the children was not just reserved for the Sabbath day or for special times. It was to take place in the daily routines of their lives. A friend of mine from the church, one of our elders, he and I were visiting last weekend, and he told me a story that one of his friends at work in the city, they were talking about life, and somehow or another they got talking about church. And he said, "Yeah, I've been taking my son to church and taking him to youth group and things like that," and things that he'd been doing to get his son involved with church. And one of our elders here asked him, "So doesn't your wife go to church?" And his response was, "No, she takes him to soccer, and I take him to church." The family in the church is not just some activity that we take our kids to, like soccer or swimming or baseball. It's part of the family. Also, another thing about Deuteronomy is that the spiritual formation was not only the immediate family, but the entire faith community. The whole community was charged with responsibility for passing on the faith to the next generation. That's what we do when we baptize our infants. And one of our elders stands up here and says to you, the congregation of Roten Presbyterian Church, promise to teach and guide this child and this family in the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's more than just saying yes. It's praying for those children, praying for those young people, and being there as part of this church family. The third thing that Deuteronomy says is to pass on the truth to children. Like runners who are running a relay race, passing on the baton from one runner to the next. That's what we do. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ given to us in the Word of God and preserved and preached by the church for generations. And that's our job as we pass it on to the next generation and the next generation after that. Our job as a children and youth ministry is heading in a new direction, and I'm excited about that. And I want to reevaluate and help look at all of the ministries of the church and to see what can we do to be more connected, to reveal and to share the love of Christ as a family united together. As many of you know, there's a building idea and plan that brings the youth from across the parking lot right here in the same facility. And I think it's such a great reality of that we need to be together, not only physically, but also spiritually and as a family of God, greeting each other, knowing each other's names. People know Becky Thompson and Bethany Turner because they know their parents also. And isn't that a great way that we know each other as a family of God, that we know their parents, we know their kids, and we are part of that family. What's my real hope for Noroten, if I want to tell you a story that I'd like to share a year from now? It's a story that Wayne Rice, who is one of the founders of, really one of the founders of youth ministry, shared about his daughter, Amber. Wayne had gone through some really big, exciting churches and great ministries, but realized the importance of a smaller church, a community church, that really knew and loved and cared for his daughter. And his daughter, Amber, lived in California and was talking to a friend of hers, and her friend's daughter said, "My church is so huge," her friend said, bragging about the mega church she attended across town. "And our youth pastor is awesome. He plays in a band, knows all the famous people." Oh, wait, I should go to my junior high girl fights. "He plays in a band and knows all the kinds of famous people. Our youth meets in the gym, and it's really, really fun. We're going to winter camp in a few weeks later, and we're going to Disneyland and Magic Mountain." So Amber responds to her after this great litany of a wonderful church. Amber simply says, "Well, my church loves me." And what a great message for us to share with our children and youth, that they are loved because of the love of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pray with me, please. Dear God, we thank you for equipping us as parents, for providing resources within the church in Noroten to reach out and minister to our children and youth. But Lord, we pray that and we recognize that there are times where we have failed in our best intentions. We have excluded the family and the importance of parents, of grandparents, of the body of Christ as a family to come together and to teach your word and truth. So Lord, we pray that you would help us as we look forward on how we can come together better to utilize all of our gifts and resources to glorify you, to love you, and to share that love with each other and with the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.